Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of BIB Radio. Today is Thursday, March the 9th, 2017, and you are listening again to BIB Radio, and I am one of your hosts, Cece Harry, and I am joined, I'm quite sure, by my co-host, Brother Robert 11X. Robert, are you on the line?
Sure I am. How are you?
All right. I am good. So, what is going on in the business world on your side today?
Just preparing mentally to go to Las Vegas to the trade show in about 7 days we should be out of here. And was just trying to see what else was going on in Vegas while we were there, business-wise. So I'm excited about that. I'm always excited about hitting these trade shows and going with a different perspective, though.
Right. Now, what do you mean going with a different perspective?
Well, I'm more so going to see what services can we bring to the vendors at the show. How can we benefit them, just not just being a retail store, but see, they can't always see what we see, and they don't always know what we know. And, you know, with black people spending as much money as they do in the economy, we have a better insight to what the trends would be, you know. And so my thinking has been on that today. You know, how can we change the dynamics of just going to the trade show for purchasing merchandise. You know, we need to see the manufacturer's eyes and ears.
Right, right. And I agree with you. People don't always know what we know. And, like, sometimes you have to fine-tune your thinking to actually deal with the customer on that level because, you know, you automatically think in a certain way and, like, what are they talking about? And it's like, oh, wait, they don't even know about that. They don't even have any idea about what I'm saying to them. So let me go ahead and make sure. And it doesn't mean, it just means they're uninformed and you know something more about buying and selling that they don't. So, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I mean, you know that, and I know that because of how they approach pricing sometimes, because of how they get so either excited because the prices are low or irritated because they feel the pricing is high. that just shows, you know, the irritation shows the lack of knowledge concerning everything all-encompassing. So I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, and see, it's aiming for a bigger customer, customer base. You know, when you talking about turning the manufacturer into a customer, that should be always aim. This is the benefit of the trade show, because literally puts us in contact with maybe over somewhere around 400 to 600, in between 400 to 600 different vendors who then to wholesalers. So the thinking should not be we just go there and looking for merchandise. No, we're going there looking for customers that can use our services, that we are able to create a whole nother market that is possibly currently doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? So that's where my mind is at, because of some events that's been happening lately in the marketplace, you know, dealing with some of our constituents, you know, it just puts me in a mind of thinking bigger and growing beyond this level, because there's a lot of animosity, a lot of envy, when you shine among people who don't know their own worth, you know?
Right.
So I'm like, when you get to this show and when you get there, you'll see a major difference in the attitudes of these multi-million and billionaire people that own these manufacturing companies that'll be there with their hands out meeting you because they want to do business with you. They're business people too, but the attitudes are totally different. You know, and sad to say, and you know, it's good to see us as a people go into business, but we have to leave the street aspect of our life, try to understand to separate that from business. When you're dealing with the public, you can't bring the street into business and expect to succeed unless you're just going to deal with a whole bunch of nigga stuff, nigga shit, just real talk. If that's what you shooting into, then, I mean, there's plenty of it out there, and it seems like today you get more and more of that as the norm, and it's just, for me, it's just like a real irritant, you know, but I'm always thinking, how can I make the most of these events other than just going there purchasing for our store? And this one, this event here in 7 days, I'm looking to really, really challenge my own thinking and to taking it to a whole nother level that, you know, maybe I haven't done before, or maybe I thought on it and just haven't executed, because you'd be so busy, concerned with finding that product that you know nobody else here or wherever you may be has this product. I know I can do well with this product. Well, I want to aim for the stars, you know. So I'm challenging myself to make some of the manufacturers my customers. See, you didn't go to sleep, did you? I can't hear you, CC.
Can you hear me now?
Are you there?
Uh-oh. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you now.
Hello? Okay, yeah. Perfect. Sorry, that was me. I was muting because I didn't want background noise to come through. But you know what? I agree with you, and it is very burdensome to deal with the things that you're talking about. I mean, I think that we deal with it on a greater level because we're dealing with not only customers around us, but also other people around us that may still have that customer type mentality or just hustle type mentality versus a true business owner. They're just there to maybe make a quick dollar, or, you know, not just really, really expound on what their skills are, what their products are. So therefore they look around and see what you're doing, and then just, I guess they kind of naturally hate. And we, as business people, we tend to think in our minds, okay, well, let me not get ahead of myself and just think that people are hating on me, you know, and you try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but then they actually end up showing you who they are, you know, and you really should have followed your first mind and kind of stepped back. It's not that you can't be cordial toward people, but you need to be cautious in how you interact with them, because they are really dealing with something else. And it's just, it all goes back to that oppression and not knowing who we are, you know, that goes, you know, way, 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 way back. And it's unfortunate because you feel like you want to really connect with your people, but it's like you can only go so far because it's not just a regular relationship thing. You know, some people might be thinking, oh, it's just those are relationships. No, when you're in business, you should be able to definitely connect with other business people and deal business, and not people just totally being jealous of you and wanting to destroy what's yours and that type of thing. So I think the trade show will definitely bring a breath of fresh air to the situation, kind of help you clear your mind and be at ease that, you know, things can be okay. And as long as you are building, you can look past what everybody else is doing. I think that's what, that's something Earl Nightingale was talking about. If you guys don't know who Earl Nightingale is, look him up on YouTube. Very inspirational message that he has. I don't know if he was a racist or had slaves or his grandfather was a woman beater. I don't know any of those things. But I just know that I listen to him every day for inspiration. Very old information, but it's still relevant today. And I encourage you all to do that. As we're talking about, you know, the woes of business, of course, there are upsides, but you know, there are definitely downsides, and you need to connect with information that will help you keep going, help you stay motivated, so you don't fall, whatever that could be. So you don't fall and just be an angry business person, because we see that all the time. You know, people with very poor customer service skills or just, you know, bitter people, period. And so you don't become that person. You must, even if it's just by way of the internet, connect with information that helps you move forward motivationally. And we're going to talk about that in the first hour, about being, you know, motivated and listening to positive messages so that you can move forward in your business, because we know that doubt tries to creep in at any time when you're doing business, especially if you're doing something new and innovative, something that nobody else is doing. You know, you'll have people telling you all kind of stuff like you can't do it, and you know, just not really wanting to support you. So we're going to focus on that the first hour. So if you are listening to us, feel free to take out a pen and a paper and join us and take notes, and then we can definitely discuss the video. Scotty has it queued up, and we're going to listen to it in a minute. But let me let everyone know, if you would like to join us, you can call in at 1-866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056. Press **, and then you can get in on the conversation. I almost forgot. That's what we're doing the first hour, because we got so involved in the conversation, because this week has just been challenging. But our next hour, we will be joined by Mr. Waddell. He's of Dominion Charter LTD, Roderick Waddell and Mr. Moten. Let's see here. Where can we start? Let's see. Well, Mr. Moten is the owner of Charter LTD, and they are the global leader for private jet services. And I really don't want to tell too much, because I think that this is an amazing company. You know, we talk about entrepreneurship on a certain level. But when you talk about someone that actually owns their own charter company, dealing with multi-million dollar accounts and multi-million dollar customers, that's just a different level. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to be striving toward that, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people listening and a lot of people out there that are entrepreneurs that would really, really like to be on that level. So I think that it will be very encouraging for us to hear Mr. Moten's story. I've spoken with him a couple times over the phone, and I'm just very impressed with what he's doing with this company. But yeah, that will be the second hour. So what we're going to do now is talk about that inspirational information here that we have queued up in the YouTube. And again, get your pen and paper out. Scotty, go ahead.
That you have. I don't care how disappointing it might have been as you've been working toward that dream. That dream that you're holding in your mind, that it's possible. That some of you already know that it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard changing your life. That in the process of working on your dreams, you are going to incur a lot of disappointment, a lot of failure, a lot of pain. There are moments when you're going to doubt yourself and say, God, why is this happening to me? I'm just trying to take care of my children and my mother. I'm not trying to steal or rob from anybody. Why did this have to happen to me? For those of you that have experienced some hardships, don't give up on your dream. Their rough times are going to come, but they have not come to stay. They have come to pass.
Greatness is not this wonderful, esoteric, elusive, godlike feature that only the special among us will ever taste. You know, it's something that truly exists in all of us.
It's very important for you to believe that you are the one. Most people, they raise a family, they earn a living, and then they die. They stop growing, they stop working on themselves, they stop stretching, they stop pushing themselves. That a lot of people like to complain, but they don't want to do anything about their situation. And most people don't work on their dreams. Why? One is because of fear. The fear of failure. What if things don't work out? And the fear of success. What if they do and I can't handle it? These are not risk takers.
You spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You know other people more than you know yourself. You studied them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself.
It's necessary that you get the losers out of your life if you want to live your dream. But people who are running toward their dreams, life has a special kind of meaning.
When you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never, ever be the best copycat in the world. But you will be the best you could be. I'm challenging you to define your value.
That everybody won't see it. That everybody won't join you. That everybody won't have the vision. It's necessary to know that you are an uncommon breed. It's necessary that you align yourself with people and attract people into your business who are hungry, people who are unstoppable and unreasonable, people who are refusing to leave life just as it is and who want more. The people that are living their dream are finding winners to attach themselves to. The people that are living their dreams are the people that know that if it's going to happen, it's up to them.
If you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. To invest in you.
Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. That you don't have to go through life being a victim. And even though you face disappointments, you have to know within yourself that I can do this. Even if no one else sees it for me, I must see it for myself.
This is what I believe, and I'm willing to die for it. Period.
No matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it.
I want to represent an idea. I want to represent possibilities.
And some of you right now, you want to be, you know what I'm saying? You want to go to the next level. I want to counsel. You know, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. Listen to me. You can't get to that level. You can't get to the level economically where you want to be until you start investing in your mind. You're not reading books. I'm challenging y'all to go to conferences. I dare you to invest time. I dare you to be alone. I dare you to spend an hour getting to know yourself. When you become who you are, when you become the person that you were created to be, designed to be who you were designed to be, when you become an individual, what you do is you take yourself and you start separating yourself from other people. I tell you, get to a place where people don't like you, it don't even bother you no more. Why? Because you're not concerned with trying to make them happy, because you're trying to grow up. You're trying to get to the next level. I need you to invest in your mind. Invest in your mind. If you still talk about your dream, if you still talk about your goal, but you have not done anything, just take the first step.
That you can make your parents proud, you can make your school proud, you can touch millions of people's lives, and the world will never be the same again because you came this way. Don't let nobody steal your dream. After we face a rejection and a no, or we have a meeting and no one shows up, or somebody say, you can count on me, and they don't come through. What if we have that kind of attitude? The car's repossessed. Nobody believes in you. You've lost again and again and again. The lights are cut off. But you're still looking at your dream, reviewing it every day, and saying to yourself, it's not over until I win. You can live your dream.
All right. Are you there, Robert?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. So what did you think about that message?
You know, the thing with that message that really resonates with me is the affirmation that you get from that message. Our community, and most oftentimes the people around us, don't affirm that greatness that we may see in one another. We don't give that affirmation to one another. So when you turn on a lecture or a speech or whatever by a man like what we just got through listening to, or Earl Nightingale, most often you get your affirmation through those type of audio tapes or whatever. And it just triggered a thought in my mind when my partner told me, he said that you have to, the best way to have that intimate conversation with multi-million and billionaire people is to read their books. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have that physical one-on-one connection or meeting with that person. So the best way, the closest way to have that is through reading. And that's so very true, unless you go to the trade show. But that, other than the trade show, that is so very true. And just listening to that guy there, you know, those who are entrepreneurs, those who are real shakers and movers, you know, I know for me, when I hear that, it energizes me, it fuels me, it encourages me, it fills the void, you know, all of that, you know, and those are just things for me personally that I can say I'm in alignment with what I hear, and I'm going to keep moving forward. And that's what I take away from listening to that brother, Earl Nightingale, Les Brown, all those great mentors that are still striving to become greater.
Right. Okay. Well, that is that's a powerful takeaway. But in going back to Earl Nightingale, You know, what he focuses on is, you know, basically telling you, you need to know yourself, you need to love yourself, you need to affirm yourself. Because when you do that, you don't have to have that. I mean, of course, it's nice to have, but you don't have to have that. If you know who you are, I mean, that's the biggest part, is knowing who you are. And that's a big part of being an entrepreneur and being in business, because if you are a thinker, a game changer, a motivator, a lot of times you will not have people around you that understand what you're doing. So when they don't understand what you're doing, they definitely are not going to support you. I mean, it's rare and it happens, but most of the time people think that you're crazy and they don't know what you're doing and they can't relate to it. So they're not there. But as entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of people, they just keep going. They keep doing what they need to do to make it happen because they believe in themselves, and they just make those things happen because they possess that within them. And the problem is, we all possess everything that we need down in us to make things happen. But a lot of people just don't know that. And that's too bad. I would hope that more people can get a hold of messages like these. And it's such a shame that with modern technology that we have today, people are not really utilizing it to maximize themselves, especially in entrepreneurship. They don't make time to do what they need to do, not should do, but what they need to do in order to push forward, you know, because we take breaks and we get on Facebook. And I mean, people go on Facebook for business, but, you know, there's just some really strange things on Facebook. So that lets you know that people are not fully utilizing their minds for the right things. But when you do that, when you do what you need to do, everything that you need will be done. But if you're not doing it, then just nothing's going to happen. You're just going to be, you know, even if you're in business, you're going to be kind of mediocre. Whereas you could be busy building, creating, doing new things and experiencing new people and reaching out in different ways that you never had thought. I mean, that's one thing that excites me about entrepreneurship, is just meeting new people and experiencing those people that I've never met before and had no idea about whatever business they're in. I met a lady the other day who's a histologist. I'm like, what is a histologist? I thought that was just something like dealing with history. And actually, she is a person who studies tissues in the body. And she was just the most free-spirited lady ever. I mean, she wasn't an entrepreneur per se. She does do some things on the side, but her major job is a histologist. But she was she seemed so happy, so free, very much so older. Just one of those people that could look at you and just say, you know what, I've been there and I've done that and I'm moving forward and I'm happy in my life. And that's ultimately where we all want to be. So back to the motivational messages, I would hope that everybody would get some motivation from somewhere so that they can do what they need to do, whether it be in business or work, your job or whatever. But my takeaway from that message, by the way, that was Les Brown and Eric Thomas. I think it's Eric Thomas in that message. Somebody just kind of put that together, that wonderful message. But he said, it is hard. You will incur a lot of disappointment. And I think that that's true. And that's true about life. You know, as you are doing things or trying to do things, you know, you will incur a lot of disappointment. And trying to build a business, you will. I mean, there, again, sometimes it's lonely at the top. When you're doing something different that other people are not doing, you know, everybody else is just a worker bee getting up, doing the same routine every day. But once you decide that you're not going to be a worker bee for somebody else and you're going to do it for yourself, it is hard because you may not have that support, that encouragement, people around you that are interested in what you're doing. So it can be hard. And it is disappointing because it's like when you're in a relationship and you decide to become, matter of fact, we know somebody like this. You're in a relationship. And at the time when you all get together, both of you have a job, but then later on, you decide, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. It can be very disappointing to your partner and yourself, because your partner is thinking, oh my goodness, what is wrong with you? What do you mean you don't want to work a job? What do you mean you're going to start a business and you're going to leave this 401k and this and that, whatever? It can be very disappointing for them because you changed on them, you know. But at the same time, you're changing for yourself, which is what is really, really important. But it's disappointing when you don't have that support from the other side. You know, you will try many things and they just won't work. That's disappointing. And he talked about, let's see, it's necessary that you get the losers out of your life. And I think because we are compassionate people, a lot of times we have a problem getting the losers out of our life. I mean, it's kind of a strong word, but Les Brown said it. But, you know, sometimes we do need to look around and count that cost, you know, because a lot of times we're dealing with people who are dead weight. They're not allowing us to move forward because they're hanging on, or they're not giving us positive feedback, or they, you know, just don't want to do what they need to be doing or what we feel like they should be doing. But in that case, you know, that's when we have to just kind of do an analyze things and say, okay, this person, place, whatever thing, whatever. I mean, it could be a person or something else, but that thing or person needs to be out of my life so that I can propel forward. And that's hard for us to do, because we want to take everybody with us. We discover something new and we want to talk to people about it, and we want our family to get on. You know, I started this business, just come work with me. And they don't necessarily see things the way that you see things, you know? And so therefore, a lot of times they can't be encouraging, and it's really, really tough. We want to bring everybody with us, but sometimes it can't happen. You can't make people want what you want them to want. I mean, that just, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, I mean, it's really difficult, because we all have those situations where we try to encourage people to just have something better in their lives, and they just seem to not want it. But you can't want it for them. And then what I saw here too is, or I listened to, I heard him say, this is Eric Thomas. He said, you will never be the best copycat. And, you know, we see that all the time in the flea market. We see a lot of copycatting going on, you know. And that, again, is because people are just looking for the next best hustle. You know, they have not put the time, the work, and the energy to create. They're not interested in doing those things, so they just kind of do the copycat thing. But that's not going to get you far. It may get you down the street, but it's not going to get you into the next state. So copycatting is never a good thing. Now, we're not talking about rebuilding an invention and just doing something different with an invention. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just, you see me selling a certain item, and then you go find out who I get my items from, or you find somebody else, and then you start selling them too because you see me doing well, and then you don't want to speak to me. You just kind of roll your eyes at me when I walk by. That's copycatting. You know, we're not talking about that. Well, we are talking about that. We weren't talking about the other thing. But yeah, so you got to listen to those motivational messages. If you are an entrepreneur and you're having a hard time just really keeping it together, just Google it. Well, not Google it, YouTube it. Business, entrepreneur, motivational speeches, and you will hear a lot, you know. And just kind of let your mind come off of all of your encumbrances, like whatever is blocking you. Just listen and take it in for yourself. I know when I'm listening, sometimes I have a hard time, because like I'll hear them say something like, everybody can do it. Hard work brings money, and you have to work hard. You know, I'll hear all this work hard stuff. Then my Black power kicks in. It's like, well, Black people work very hard. They're the hardest workers ever. They built this country, but hard work still got us into slavery. So like, my mind will really go into those places, but I have to just kind of shut everything off and just kind of really take in that meat and spit out the bones and really apply it to myself so that I can make sure that I have a good day, because it is so easy to have a bad day. It's actually hard to have a good day. Like it really, if you think about it, it's really hard because you have things coming at you from the left and the right and all around to ruin your day. I mean, pretty much as soon as you wake up, you know, you have those things coming at you. So you really have to work at making sure that you have a good day. You know, you have to count the cost. You know, certain things don't deserve your attention concerning like you getting angry and all that. And that's why you must listen to these motivational speeches. I mean, again, I listen to them every single day and it really helps me. It just helps me get on with my day. I'm not saying it works magic, but you never know. Like, you know, I may have to deal with a customer that is just off the chain and out of pocket. And if I didn't listen to that message that day, then that customer may have gotten back the same treatment that they were giving me, you know. But because I'm equipping myself before I have to deal with people, it's just very, very helpful.
Well,
Robert, go ahead.
I think in reference to the good day, you have to, before you even start outside of or after opening your eyes up, you have to already know, not think. You have to know that the day is good. The day is good because we are blessed to be in that day. But you also, you know, there's a possibility of situations and circumstances that come about. And just because those situations and circumstances come about should not change the quality of your day. It's just a bad situation at that moment, minute, hour, or whatever. But the day itself that we are blessed, we have to remind ourselves every day is a good day. I always tell people, I never have a bad day. I never have a bad day. I have people that do some crazy stuff in the course of my day that may piss me off. But it's never a bad day because it's a blessed day that I'm able to come home to my family and be alive. And it's just those events that happen in the day. And sometimes we may not process them the best way at the moment, but we should reflect. Once we get back to ourselves, reflect and then try to prepare ourselves for situations and circumstances that may come again like that to handle it to the best of our ability. But the day is always good. Know that for sure. That's how I see that. I always tell people, I can't remember the last time I had a bad day. I can't remember that. It's just because when my mind changed and I started realizing that every day is a good day, there were no more bad days. That just stopped happening. So then it went from just saying it was bad days to no, it's a good day. And then now how are you going to deal with what comes along with the day? How are you going to deal with that? So our perspective, our way, the way that we see things, the way that we deal with things, you know, and your outlook on it from the beginning. It is what I know. It's just like when people say, I believe. Well, there, after belief comes knowing. And at what point do you go from believing to knowing? And now as you get older and you count your blessings and all the people that are dying around us every day, you know, all the people that are around us who are not blessed to be able to pay their bills on time. Sometimes, you know, we saw a young lady at the post office the other day with her son, had saw her previously prior to that, you know, and it was a sad thing. This lady, this young girl with her son living in the streets, you know, so we have to remind ourselves that every day that we open our eyes up, you know, and are able to exercise our ability ability to obtain knowledge and information that will lead us to have a better life, it's a blessing. It's a good day. It's just a great day. I mean, that's just how I see those things. You know, sometimes, see, you've seen it yourself. I go through the day and I get challenged. I have my challenges. You have your challenges. You know, but in my mind, I never say the day is bad. It's just the people that come across. You know, you got to know how to deal with them. You got to catch yourself. You know, that's why it's important that, you know, we have a goal for ourselves. And I always say, I used to say it so much, but I'm going to say it even more because I've been saying it here lately. And this is what I used to live by, and I still live by it. I don't say it like I should. My goal, it's like a prayer. My goal is to die of old age, to die of natural causes, okay? To live out of the penitentiary, in the best of health, with multiple streams of income. You see, now in order to achieve that, I got to check me at all times. I got to get certain knowledge to be able to know what to eat and how I should be preparing the food. I got to know when to bag away from confrontation. I got to stay on top of my emotions, you know, and not think with my emotions, but think logically. I got to be able to see the outcome of this particular confrontation, the possible outcome. I can see the worst case scenario, or I can make it go the way I want to make it, or I have to know if it's out of my control and just walk away. You see, so we have to give ourselves something to be able to see ourselves as a reminder each day. And that was one of the things that I used to say every day. Man, I'm going to live to be of old age, die of natural causes, but live in good health with multiple streams of income and out of the penitentiary. And I said, now, when you think about what it takes to do that, you got to be wise. And there's a study guide I have. It's called Rising Above Emotion into the Thinking of God. And I say that's what you have to become. You have to rise above your emotion and get into the thinking of God to live this life to its fullest.
Mm. Well, that is definitely a must. But what you're talking about requires a high level of discipline. And I think because everybody is just, even if you're in business, it's so easy to be caught up in the rat race and comings and goings of life. You know, we have not obtained a quiet moment to exercise that discipline that it takes concerning all that you're talking about. What do you think?
Well, you know, you have to really be able to turn the TV off. You know, when you in business, you don't need to go from the business office to the bar or to the club. You know, because there's so much that come at you, you need to have a moment where you kind of refresh your whole spirit and being. You know, and you know, a lot of times that means that entrepreneurs, for the most part, should be alone unless you find that someone that understands the importance of what we're saying right now. You know, see, because this is not just a walk to obtain wealth and riches and material things. Most people get entrepreneurship twisted. This is the greatest faith-based walk ever known to man. See, you're not depending on somebody to give you a check. you're dependent on the execution of correct information or incorrect information. See, because people can give you incorrect information and you go out on faith and try to execute that and it comes up wrong. But this here, again, with correct information, you press forward. Not being able to see the evidence, but having faith in the evidence unseen. And then it manifests itself because you followed the correct formula to get to achieve the goal. And it's going to happen in just that way. If you use the correct formula, you're going to achieve the goal. It's going to no doubt benefit you. That's just the mathematical equation. It's going to work itself out just like that.
But right.
This thing is bigger than just about getting money. So with entrepreneurs, we did a show a while back about the proper mate or whatever. Some about our show was based off of entrepreneurs and dating. What was that show? You remember the show?
You're talking about the show where we talked about entrepreneurs and finding the proper mate.
Right. And see, with that being said, that goes all across the board, even in life, because in life itself, I mean, whatever, if you're 9 to 5 and then you still need that person that, you know, you can get with and y'all can vibe with and everything click right, you know what I'm saying, for that, whatever the purpose may be. But entrepreneurship is unique because, you know, you just can't get with anybody on this level. There are some entrepreneurs that I know I could never be around. And there's entrepreneurs that, you know, are extremely influenced by the European way of doing business. And those entrepreneurs, although some of them may be successful, I could not see myself being in that relationship. So a lot of times from what I've seen and what I've experienced, especially in my own personal life, it would have been better for me personally to just have been by myself, you know. And I know that there are so many entrepreneurs right now that are in bad relationships, bad because they are holding them mentally. It's like weight on them mentally because, yeah, they may like that person, but that person is not good for what they're trying to achieve. And those questions or those doubts, that energy that they're getting from that person, see, they don't have to say much, but the energy or that look they may give you, like, you know, you crazy or, you know, whatever. All that energy, when you're an entrepreneur, you don't need that because it's going to already, sometimes even to yourself, it may, in the beginning, when you're getting started, it may sound crazy because you're not used to what you're doing. So you're in doubt. You don't know for sure. But for somebody to come along that doesn't give a damn and then kills any hope that you have, that destroys something in you. That takes away something from you. So if you are an entrepreneur and you're in a relationship that weighs heavy on your gut, your spirit, your being, you better evaluate that relationship. You better be truthful with yourself and ask yourself, is this healthy for me? Because you can't go forward the way you need to go forward. I've shut down quite a few good businesses in the past and look back on them today and say, man, that industry makes money. That industry makes money. But what happens is when you in those relationships, you don't want to even remotely go back into that industry because it reminds you of that bad time of your life. So you only have one life to live. And with yourself, you got to live it honestly, and you got to live it to its fullest, and you got to give it the best go at it that you can give. And trust me, you will feel much better knowing that you gave this life your all rather than looking back on it and saying, man, I hate that I spent 10 years with this person and now we're finally getting the divorce. I should have been done that. You're not going to win at entrepreneurship carrying weight on you. If you don't feel like you can make it through, or you don't feel like, if you have any doubt, hey, you need to really, really, really honestly look at that thing and say, and ask yourself, you know, what is it that I really want? And let me be real with myself. Is this person good for my growth? And that person could have a lot of money. It could be just, I mean, you never know. That person could have a lot of money or whatever, a lot of knowledge, wisdom. But however, you have to be honest with yourself. And it's not to say that the person is a bad person. It has nothing to do with that. You got to be honest with yourself. This is your life. And if God gave you a vision to do something that could be a game changer, don't expect for your partner to understand it. Don't expect for your partner to accept that and take on the challenges that comes with that. That was given to you. That's on you and what you want to do.
Okay, well, that was a big sermon veering away from the motivational speaking, but I guess that is motivating yourself, talking, giving yourself some self-talk that is much needed, because if you don't do it, then you won't really know where you're going. Again, if you don't have people around you encouraging you and helping you, which I don't understand how people could not in the age of technology again. Yes, we know human interaction is very much so needed. But if you don't have that because you are so set apart from everyone because of whatever reason, maybe you live rurally, maybe you don't have time to go to these meetup groups or interact with people on social media. I'm not really sure why you wouldn't have time to do those things. But just get you some motivational tapes, you know, nobody listens to tapes, motivational. You can get them in the iTunes store. You can get them on YouTube. There's many different ways that you can reach out and get the information that you need to move forward and grow. And Robert's talking about relationships. I mean, there are some that are in relationships and one person is an entrepreneur and the other person is not, and they make it work perfectly fine. There's relationships where two people are entrepreneurs and they don't work out fine because maybe they're going in two different directions. And there's relationships where, I mean, there's just all kinds of scenarios that we could run through. But like he was saying, you know, you just basically have to be in a situation that is going to help you grow. If it's not going to help you grow, then I mean, why are you there? I mean, I believe anybody can work on anything. It takes two, though. Two people have to be willing to work on it, not just one person. I don't really believe in staying in situations that are detrimental to your health, because I think that when you get in the thick of things, that's what causes cancer and all kind of maladies in your body and just sickness, because you're not loving yourself. And in order to move forward in situations, even in entrepreneurship, you have to love yourself. You have to do what is right for you, what is right for your business, what is right for your situation, what is right for your family. But ultimately, you have to love yourself. When you love yourself, you will do what's right for you each and every time. You know, you got to be in a relationship with yourself in order to be a successful entrepreneur. We're just going to stay on task with that. So get yourself some motivational information. Some of my favorite ones are, again, Earl Nightingale, Les Brown, George Frazier has some stuff out there. There's a guy named Marlon Smith that I met at the Dudley Gala last year that will be going on again this year. We put out information on that a couple weeks back. Let me see who else. Emma Frazier, which is George Frazier's sister. Lisa Nichols, she's great. David Anderson, he's great. Let's see. Well, our own David Wren of Tando Radio, he's excellent. Boy, that's definitely where you can go. And, of course, you could come here and you can listen to Robert 11X because he gives you great information every single week on this show. We're here every week at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Yeah, just this whole radio network, really. I mean, wherever you need to get it. I know I learn best by hearing. So everything that you need entrepreneurially starts within yourself. Seriously, you know, we are all built to do something great in this world. And in listening to Mr. Nightingale today, he was saying that it's false information to even think that someone is identical to you because God created everyone differently. There is no two people on this earth that are alike. We are all individual human beings. We all are creative. We all can create something to show who we are, to make money, you know, to be entrepreneurs. So we just have to know that. But yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, this is just a little inspiration for this first hour. We can talk about next week's guest. Next week's guest, her name is actually Leah Gavin. She is going to talk to us about estate planning. So make sure you join us next week for that, because how many people have planned their estates? I mean, we've talked about this over and over again, but we're going to keep talking about it. And I actually want some of you to call in and let me know that you have planned your estate or you have done something different, diversified things a little bit so that you can have your funeral arrangements set. I mean, not that you're dying anytime soon, but I mean, just so that you have things in place showing us these things. I mean, that just is going to be a big deal if people can really start doing those things, because we don't want to have chicken dinners and rib barbecues and all that stuff because somebody died. So make sure you get your estate planning going. Who did we have last week? Somebody from Prepaid Legal, Jonathan Robinson from Prepaid Legal. That's one option, but make sure you listen to us next week so that you can hear Miss Leah Gavin talk about estate planning. We also had Miss Yolanda Spivey on talking about insurance. You know, people, we just got to start getting these things together. It's very important that we do. We can't wait to the last minute. We can't leave these things for our loved ones to solve. It's really not fair for us to do that because we are walking in fear, because anytime you mention death or anything like that, you just freak out. I mean, you're going to die. Everybody's going to die. I mean, hello, you're not an alien or whoever lives forever, zombies, whatever. You're not that. So you just have to make sure that you get those things together. Right. But we I see our next guest coming on. So we got about 2 minutes until commercial, and then we're going to bring on Dominion Charter LTD. That will be Mr. Waddell and Mr. Moten telling us about that wonderful business. And again, this is entrepreneurship on another level, and you guys will just be excited to hear what will be talked about in the next hour. So right now we're going to tell you, listen to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. Feel free to stay with us as we come on for the last hour of the show. Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back with BIB Radio.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. Put me crazy.
All righty, everybody. We are back. This is the second and last hour of VIB Radio. We are on Black Talk Radio Network. Please support Black Talk Radio Network by going to blacktalkmediaproject.org. Make a donation. Make a request to have a commercial created, because we definitely do that here. If you like a radio program, Scotty Reed can help you out with that. Let us know. You can also contact us here, VIB Radio. Our email address is weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. If you like what you heard today or any of our other shows, join us every week. We're here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time every Thursday. All right, so we're going to get into this last hour with Dominion Charter LTD with Mr. Moten and Mr. Waddell. We are going to let them on right now. Welcome to Black Talk Radio Network and BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line? Oh, hold on. I think we muted. Okay. Can you hear us now?
Sure. This is C. Edward Moten.
Hello, Mr. Moten. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I guess he's not here.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so how are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine. How about you?
I am excellent. So, of course, we've talked before. I'm Cece, and my co-host is there, too. His name is Robert 11X.
Okay, Mr. X, how are you?
Oh, goodness. Hold on. We can't. He's muted. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Mr. Moten, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a pleasure meeting you.
For sure. Same here.
Yeah, I heard a lot of nice things about what you got going on, so I can't wait for you to just jump right in and just, you know, let us know what's happening.
Cece has been nice to us, of course, and I'm probably one of the few, thereabouts, maybe four or five, three notable that are in our space, our industry, which is the business aviation industry, better known as private jets. And we are Black owned and operated, and we have a service for those that do a lot of business travel, and those that love to travel, usually for vacation or family time or whatever the case may be. It's a difficult industry in that it is not it is not a cheap industry. Flying private is definitely not cheap, and I don't want to give that impression. But when you do apples to apples, spending time in airport terminals, the time that you spend there, and losing money in particular business deals, juxtaposition, having your own time being yours, where your time is your time, no delays, no cancellation, no TSA security checkpoint, you can manage your time better. And I always say, if you can manage your time, you can definitely master your life.
Wow, that's a good quote. So in doing private charter, which is a big deal, I mean, because most people fly just regular, they go to the airport and get on the plane, or they wait, or like you said, cancel, and you just don't know what's going to happen. I know myself, I was stuck in Dallas one time for about 12 hours. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Right.
yeah, it could be a bit much.
It can be a bit much and quite stressful, too, because then you have to eat that food. So it's crazy. But so let us know a little bit of your background. Like, where did you come from? How did you get started? And what made you want to be an entrepreneur?
Let's see. That's Let me make a long story short. I am 46. I have been in ministry all of my life since the time I was 14. So I've pastored, I've been a part of pastoral staff in churches, and, you know, on the spiritual side, on the secular side, I'm a certified paralegal with a specialization in banking and finance, commercial litigation, and real estate. And I've always done a modicum of contracts all of my life. My first business was, I think I was in my late teens, actually. And, of course, I had a car detail shop that kind of went mobile, did really well, got to the point in that where I kind of got bored because that was really wasn't my passion. I knew travel was a part of that passion, but that particular space was not giving me a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings, I guess you can say. And so I branched from there and stayed in corporate America for a space. And then about 7 years ago, I married my love for travel with what I believe that I am best at, and that's service. I know a lot of people don't like service, but I'll tell you this, and it may sound strange to your listeners, the best book that I've ever read outside of the Bible is The Help. When I read The Help, I saw it in different views. And I know as Blacks, that's not something that we like to talk about, having positions that seem to be subservient to others. But the reality is, when you can serve others well, it does a great joy for them. And if you're service-oriented, it brings you a lot of joy. So I married what I've done, what I know in travel, with my ability to serve. And so Dominion is the brainchild of that, where we took service to another level. What we noticed in business aviation industry or private jet industry is that a lot of companies had a mass market approach to a very niche market. And so we said to ourselves, not being funny, and I hope I don't offend any of your listeners, but we said to ourselves, as Blacks, we have a lot of flavor. We understand what luxury is. We understand what high-end things are, sometimes to our own detriment and demise. Sometimes we, you know, we'll look good and look stark and have our brand name, and sometimes, you know, don't have two nickels to rub together. So what I wanted to do is take the flavor that we have as a people, our understanding of luxury, and give the industry a redefinition of luxury, something that is simple, something that is classic, and something that people can enjoy, and travel can become memorable again. And so Dominion is birthed out of that. My wife and I saw a gap in the industry where it's just a mass market approach, and there was no luxury. In fact, I tell people, it has become, I guess, a famous quote of mine, that the only thing that private jet flight implies is that it's private. It doesn't imply luxury. It doesn't imply safety. It just implies that it's private. And so what we wanted to do was go beyond implication to a foundation of what luxury is about and how to serve people from pre-trip planning to the trip, the duration of the trip, and then post-trip. And so that's what we've been able to do through private jet charter service.
Wow. Well, let me go back to, you said previously you were a paralegal. You worked in that industry. Are you still practicing there in any way, shape, or form?
Let's just say, as CEO of Dominion, a lot of my legal ego is in play. and it has to be used. And so I use probably more than a smidgen or more than a modicum of legality. So it does play in our company. But as far as working for a firm or even freelancing when it comes to the law, no, I don't do that anymore, even though I stay in tune through continuing education with legal processes. So it's kind of fun.
Okay. And you mentioned service. I believe acts of service in acts of service as well. I was talking before to our listeners about Earl Nightingale. He talks about that too.
Right.
You know, that is actually how you sustain yourself. That is how you are blessed, by being in acts of service. I mean, it just, it
sure.
really comes natural to us. It's unnatural for us to actually fight against, you know, being a service provider, because that's what we're here to do, is service others.
So
with you recognizing that, I have to believe that you're doing something else in acts of service. Like, what is it that you're doing outside of Dominion for acts of service?
Well, through Dominion, along with Dominion, rather, we get a chance to participate in several nonprofit organizations, whether that is directly or indirectly. Directly meaning that we may be a part of certain drives. Not too long ago, we were a part of Surf Houston, where we took part in helping small to medium-sized businesses in the community reface their businesses as far as their property, making sure that everything was good on that end. We've been a part of things across the world. My 19-year-old, just not too long ago, did a missions trip to the Dominican Republic and was helping build homes there. So in that regard, acts of service for us is high on my list. It is high on my list because my father was the epitome and example of what it means to serve others. So I fully understand without question that if you help people do the things that God has called them to do, then God will help you do the things you've been called to. And so we serve, and we serve with joy. It's not drudgery on our part. It's not something that we hate. We love it. And so there are different things that we do relative to, I guess, a Trump-esque statement. There are several inner city things that we love to do. And outside of that, there are several things that we love to do relative to small and medium-sized businesses as far as education and having all the tools that's needed for business and extending our business acumen to them as best we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, with this business, I mean, you own a charter company, not just a charter company, right, but a luxury charter company, which is kind of an anomaly, you know, because like you said, you know, you don't really hear about luxury. I mean, you just think private, and automatically, okay, if it's private, it must be nice. But apparently that's not so.
No, it's not.
Right. And when you say that, you are completely set apart from everyone else. And with that being said, you and I had a conversation before. And in business, it is important to appeal to your audience. But a lot of times your audience is anyone, you know, you don't want to just say, hey, I'm just serving Black people all the time. So sometimes that's not what you want. You want to service those people who can pay you. So how do you make sure that you can service and appeal to everyone?
Well, one of the things that we've done, probably different from most companies in the industry, is that we try to educate as we service you, meaning that it is not our goal to just have a clientele fly private, but it is helping our clientele hold their bottom line in a fiscal sense so that they are better for it. Particularly Blacks that are in certain places, professional athletes, NBA, NFL, and all of that. It is helping those brothers and those sisters that are in those spaces, in those industries, spend money wisely. I believe that there are three things that we do with money. I believe we sow it, which means you can give it to somebody that needs it or that needs the help at the time. You can sow it into ministry or whatever you're into. Or you can save it. Or you can spend it. And I think all three need to happen simultaneously, that you sow it, you save it, you spend it. Unfortunately, in many industries, we have such a pull to spend that we don't know the other two. We're not introduced to the enormous joy of sowing it and saving it. So we educate. And part of that education is to be a one-call, one-cost company, meaning that you don't need to have a credit card on file with us when you fly a private. What we try to do is teach you the ins and outs. There are certain fees associated with flying private that, of course, we don't set up. They're outside of our space. They are set up by most cities or municipalities as a subsidy to their annual income. So there are certain fees attached to it. We don't have anything to do with. Set up by, again, municipalities or the FAA. But we try to keep everything where they're being educated as to the difference between light jets and mid jets and heavy jets, understanding distance, understanding what a dead leg is or an empty leg, and what the standard is in the industry. So we are very patient to walk through that process, because at the end of the day, we want you to be able to see the cost effectiveness of flying private relative to business or relative to family or relative to certain events. And so we are the, lack of a better phrase or word, we're kind of the Sam Walton of the private jet industry. The ability to purchase several things all in travel under one roof without expending a lot of money paying other outsourced companies. So with us, you get, you know, if you're looking at a flight card, you get so many hours in the air, so many hours on the ground. You get unlimited concierge. Our concierge department becomes an extension of your pre-existing administrative team. So that means that you have access to them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether that's through email, phone, or the app. And they work for you. If you're taking a trip to New York and while you're there, you say, I got enough time, I want to take in a Broadway play, then concierge will procure those tickets for you. Make sure that those tickets are waiting at will call for you, because on travel, we work for you. If that means you need a last-minute meeting while you're traveling and you need a babysitter, then we have a database that we use through concierge. We've already vetted certain people. We've already vetted certain companies. So that means that we can offer you a high-end babysitter that won't break the bank, and that your child can be safe for the hour, 2 hours you're in a meeting. So all things being equal, those things happen to be the things that we consider for the client when we are working on travel.
Wow. Now, that definitely is beyond just charter.
For sure.
And you had to have come up with these things because of, you know, trial and error and just seeing or wanting to meet the needs of your clients and seeing the different struggles that they have. And that's how you were able to spiral into these different areas, which is really important.
What we did was sit at a table with Franklin Travelers when we first started the company. And we asked questions on top of questions on top of questions. One of the greatest authors that I read relative to theology, Dr. Arthur Pink, once said in a book years ago that the difference between great preachers and terrible preachers is that great preachers ask the text all the right questions. So when we came to the business, we wanted to ask all pertinent questions relative to travel. As my grandmother used to say, from kibber to kibber. We wanted to make sure that we covered it all. And so when we did that, it gave us the skeletal structure, the schematics we needed to be able to be a one-stop shop for travel from beginning to end and even beyond. And so by certain ethical things that I believe, there's certain things we don't get involved in. We don't get involved in fractional ownership. I don't dog the companies that do, but fractional ownership is like a timeshare. And so we don't offer that. And the reason we don't offer it is because I have an ethical dilemma with it.
Okay.
I can't see 20 people paying $80,000 to $100,000 a month for a tail number that they'll never fly on. 20 people won't fly on it. And then they'll say, well, we'll give you an aircraft that's comparable to that tail number. And so in most situations, they will give you an aircraft that's comparable. But the reality is 20 people think that they own this one aircraft. And for all intents and purposes, they do not.
Right.
And they will probably never fly on that aircraft. I think that is it's an ethical dilemma because I think it is gross negligence and great dishonesty. So we don't get involved in stuff like that. We offer different avenues so that you can travel at your leisure without worrying. In fact, our mantra is that the only thing you have to worry about or be concerned with is what you're going to pack in your bag.
Right. Wow. Now that is definitely interesting. And I think a lot of people would have a hard time wrapping their head around what it is that you do without this radio interview, honestly, because we don't think about that. We just think about regular commercial flying. You know, we don't think because there are a great number of people that can fly commercially, right. But they don't because one, they've had a bad experience. As a matter of fact, when I was talking to a gentleman that used to own his own plane, I wanted to introduce him to your company. And he immediately was like, no, I've been through all that already.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that means he had a really bad experience. Now, of course, I forwarded him the information anyway, and I'm hoping that he will get that get a chance to contact you and have a greater experience. But I mean, just for the most part, normal everyday people have no idea about what it is that you are offering here.
Right. I'll say this. The top 1 to 3% wealth earner, of course, flies private. That's a given. They have the disposable cash by which to do so. That's a given.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be amazing to everyday Americans and working class people to find out that some of the trips that people take from their city to certain cities, and if they do it in business class or even coach, they would be shocked to find out that they could possibly charter a jet for the price that they would pay for a seat ticket. That may amaze some of them. Now, that's not in all cases, but in some traveling situations, that's definitely the issue. So it may amaze them to find that out. The other issue is they may be amazed to find out that if it's a bunch of girlfriends that met each other in a sorority in college going on a certain trip, it may shock them to find out that when they pull their money together, they may come out cheaper chartering a private jet than if they individually paid for tickets to fly commercial.
Right.
So, it's in the information. So we try to educate. Mr. Waddle, who you have on the call, Roger Waddle, is one of our account executives. He is absolutely exceptional in what he does in business development. So he's responsible for developing new business and giving that kind of education to the market, to the masses, so that they understand it, so that they can make very informed decisions, which is important in a generation that is becoming a fact-free generation. Facts don't seem to matter anymore. And that's
right.
A dangerous place to be, because fact is synonymous with truth. And so if we're in a fact-free zone, that would suggest that a lot of us operate outside of truth more than on just occasion.
That's absolutely true. And I think I see Mr. Waddle on the call now. Are you there, Roderick?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. We didn't see you sitting there. So sorry. So glad you could join us. So as Mr. Moulton just explained to us, you are the account manager, and you handle all of the accounts coming into the company?
Well, not all of them. I'm a part of the business development team. There's three of us, and we all carry our weight. We have our share. But I try to do the best I can with what I'm responsible for, you know.
Well, you do a great job, because you and I have interacted, and you've gotten all the questions answered and just done your best. Absolutely. Robert, are you there, and do you have questions?
Well, yes. I heard some language that raised my eyebrows with the as it pertains to everyday common people. And the brother said that you'd be surprised how much it would cost for everyday common people, comparing that to, like, I think you compared it to the business class, the first class. And
right.
The first thing that hit my mind was, we're about to be on a plane about 8 days from now, headed to Las Vegas. And I was thinking, well, what does that look like for everyday common people? And when I hear private jet, or luxury, and the private jet is one thing, but as you said, luxury added to private, automatically everyday common people don't even feel like they are a part of that type of economic scheme. So,
right.
So what does that look like for a group of 10 people that wants to go to from St. Louis to Las Vegas in a private jet, cost-wise? I mean,
cost-wise.
How does everyday common people like myself? I'm a business person. And you know, I try to, if I'm gonna be dealing with people, if we're gonna be flying in a group, it may be family. All my family is not business. But let's just say business people, as well as maybe a family, just common people, young entrepreneurs trying to get to that certain level. How does Dominion accommodate us?
Well, the biggest thing that we do that's a beauty for us is that we try to sit down with you and from beginning to end, explain certain things. For example, one of the things that we do that most companies don't is event packages, which means we do, you know, Super Bowl packages, NBA All-Star weekend packages. We do Kentucky Derby packages. Now, when I say packages, I don't mean just flights. In all of our packages, we cover your round-trip flight, your car service, your hotel lodging, and all of this is 4- and 5-star hotel lodging, and we cover events outside of the main event in that event package, which you would be surprised to know sometimes may end up like Kentucky Derby's coming up in May. Some of that is about $2,500, $2,700 a person for everything I just mentioned, plus two events outside of the main event, Kentucky Derby. Now, the way we do it is we try to explain it. If you say, I need 10 people to go, the first thing we would say to you is you can't go with 10 people on a light jet. Light jet only fits 5 to 7 people. So you're looking at mid or super mid. On a mid or super mid, of course, you have the length, you have the weight that you need for luggage capacity, but you also have the width for comfortable seating. So what we try to do is we'll give you a quote for that. Once we look at the quote, we will walk you through the process of what that would cost per person if you were flying like you were flying commercial. And if you say that's a little steep, then what we'll do is revisit it so that we understand the brass tacks, so that we can get to everything that you may need so that you're comfortable. Now, not considering there are certain fees attached to flying private, we could never get away from. But just St. Louis to, let's say, if you were going from STL, St. Louis to LAS, which is McCarran, and if you were going there, we already know that's about a 4-hour, right at about 3-hour, 3-hour and about 45-minute flight. So you already know, doing simple math, 3 hours on a mid-jet, a super mid, is right at about $4,000 per hour. So 4 times 3 is 12. So you already know you're at 12,000. Now, can we incorporate the fees that are being asked for in that 1 hour? Surely we can, which means that there are certain things you may not get when you fly private. Like you may say, I want Wi-Fi. Well, we have to talk you maybe out of that while you're in the air and say, hey, to add Wi-Fi may be a little bit more than you're bargaining for. Let's see if we can get you in a Gulfstream 200 or Gulfstream 150, see if you're comfortable with it, and then we work out the details with you so that you're comfortable with it, both leaving and when you get there. Because the beauty for us is that we're also factoring in for you all of your travel that you need for your family members. Like with our car service, we have 4 different cars that could come to your home, individual homes, and pick you up. We have the Continental Sedan, traditional Continental Sedan, the Cadillac STS, the Mercedes E-Class, the Chrysler 300, or we have the Lincoln MKX. That's the cars. If you say, we don't want cars, we want SUVs. Well, the SUVs, we have Cadillac Escalade, we have Chevy Tahoes and Range Rover. So whatever you want, if you say, okay, this is the trip I want to take, then I've done this several times. I'll say, Mr. Robert, I tell you what, to make you happy, the car service, because you're flying, you're not purchasing the cars, you're just flying one time. So at that point, you're shopping a la carte. So I may say to you, Mr. Robert, to make you happy, I tell you what, all of your ground transportation for your trip is complimentary. Now, once we get that out of the way, you already know whatever the cost is for that, you don't have to worry about it. And we don't have to worry about car service for you because we're all over the United States of America and in 19 other countries. So the beauty for that for you is if we say, listen, your car service is complimentary, let's talk just flight, then we can work on the numbers to make it comfortable for you per person, not just for you, but per person, looking at what it would cost to fly commercial. So we're doing you know, doing a comparison, making it comfortable, and you come off, you know, with your family as the apple of their eye, because they're going to love you big after that. So it's a matter of working the numbers so that it suits you for that one trip.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I got another question dealing with airports and the cost of flying and landing. Does that number vary from city to city in reference to the business side of what you do when it comes to actually landing in a particular city?
Yes.
Or a particular airport?
Yes, it does, only because, again, those are prices we don't set. That municipality sets those prices for you to land on their runway. So it may be $100 on one runway, but $150 on another runway, or $300 on one runway. It depends on that municipality and what they've already worked out. We just pay the fee that they've already set. So, yes. To answer your question directly, it does vary from municipality to municipality.
Okay, so let's go ahead and we'll take a break real quick, and then we will come back with more questions and answers with Dominion Charter LTD. And yes, this is BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Okay. Hey. No.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project. Helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to the last half hour of BIB Radio. I am your host, CC Harry, and I am co-hosted with Brother Robert 11X Minor. We are talking with the CEO and the accounts manager of Dominion Charter LTD. He's filling us in on how luxurious these planes actually are. And as I was talking about this before, I said, you know, this is something that your everyday commercial flyer would not be exposed to. But, you know, I think that there are a lot of people that actually could do this. They could actually charter a flight and be very happy versus being cramped up in a regular plane. So, Robert, you were asking some questions before we went to break. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, before we go to that. There's somebody on the line 8101. Press ** if you'd like to make a comment, okay? So we can see you there and get you on with our guest. Robert, go ahead.
No, I mean, he pretty much answered that question. I mean, I what made me ask that question is because I noticed a lot of times in the industry that, you know, in trade show industry, I was always wondering why the trade show industry was big in Las Vegas, and I had this discussion a little while back with someone, and they told me that there's no place on the planet that is as cheap to land a plane than in Las Vegas.
Without a doubt.
And so it made sense for me, and it confirmed my notion why that city there is not only the gaming capital of the world, but also the tourist capital of the world. Because they made that such a benefit for airline companies, private airlines, to be able to touch down, along with the cheap cost of hotel. And when you put those type of things together, you know, it's no doubt Vegas is what it is to the world, not just in gaming, but to a lot of other industries. And when talking to you about this, you know, what you do, I had to ask that question because you would be the right person to give me the correct answer.
For sure. Yeah, it does. Those fees, they do change from city to city. But in a quote, like if you got a quote from us, it would reflect that. So you would see it, every line item. Because again, the difference between flying on our flight card and flying on our flight on demand, the difference is flight on demand is shopping a la carte at that point. So you're getting a flight, but you may be getting a flight at its, you know, top tier, because now you're basing it on aircraft availability, crew availability, and those things factored in can cost a little bit more than with our flight card, because with our flight card, you're flying with frequency and consistency, and so there's some things we can lock in on that we can't really do when it's just a one-off. Yeah.
Wow.
That's all I wanted to ask. I'm just really because you know, with this flying thing, and you want to be able to enjoy being in the air. I've flown quite a bit over the last 15, almost 20 years, and
wow.
I've had you know, some good experiences. I mean, you know, I always fly, I guess it's called coach or whatever, economy.
Right.
So,
coach or whatever. Okay.
Right. I'm just trying to get there and get the job done, what I'm trying to accomplish. But I've always wondered, I said, man, what it feels like to be in first class. Those tickets to me have always been like, I just, you know, you don't want to spend that type of money. Then if you book it at the last moment, it's like crazy.
Right. You know? It is.
So if I'm going to book something at the last moment and pay crazy prices, then there's got to be a sweeter alternative. And I guess if you're going to be trying to vacation or enjoy what you're really, you know, getting on a plane, this would be that alternative.
For sure. The biggest thing about business aviation or private jet aviation, the difference is, of course, it can be pricey, but the greatest difference is, what is it worth to your time? And that's the question that's asked. What is it worth to your time? You know, there have been times I can wake up in the morning, take my son to school. I'll have three different meetings in three different states, and still make it back at home in time to tuck him in the bed. Only you can do that with flying private, and that's what my time is worth to me. Now, I do not, by this interview, I don't want anybody that flies commercial and are locked in economically to flying commercial to feel bad about it. You know, the Bible teaches this great idea, not just despising our meager beginnings. If that's where you got to start, that's where you got to start. But there is, like everything else, available information that would enlighten the mind relative to travel on what could happen in a different scenario if flying private was available. And so that's why flying private has been called business aviation, because its stopgap measure was to make sure that people in business had a better way to travel and was not consumed with spending most of their time in airport terminals.
Business aviation. That's a term that we need to keep track of when we're talking to people about this company, because we definitely here at BIB Radio want to be a great affiliate and funnel more business your way. Because I believe that this flight should be something that people should aspire to have, to do, because they deserve this. You know, you don't have to continue the rest of your life sitting in the back next to the bathroom with the man that is like 500 pounds and you have to climb over him to go. And you shouldn't have to go through that forever. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, like we talked about in the first hour, let's get those inspirational and motivational talks going. Let's be around like-minded people. Let's get ourselves in front of people like Mr. Mochin, who have been there and done that, but is much higher in his understanding of entrepreneurship. You have to do that in order to be where he is today. He didn't start out being as successful as he is right now, but he is where he is. So let's connect with him and look to where he is and just really take note of that. I mean, I'm inspired. I know I want to fly on your plane one day.
For sure.
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to that and being, again, like I said, an affiliate to make sure that those who want private charter come straight to you. I'm in awe. I'm so excited that you all have come here to talk to us today. We look forward to doing business with you later on. But what I'd like to know, Mr. Mochin, is what information do you have for entrepreneurs that are striving higher, that, you know, maybe they're just starting out and they're starting to feel a little discouraged?
Well, here's the biggest thing I would say, and I'm piggybacking on what you said earlier. The honest assessment is I possibly don't know any more than any other entrepreneur. I'll be safe to say that. There's a lot of humility on my part, and I honor that humility. I really do. But I will say this to any serious entrepreneur that's trying to do successful business. One, do not be in the habit, because of social media platforms, do not be in the habit of sharing all of your vision with everybody. They're not ready for it, one. Two, you become the brunt of their joke. And you get more of that than encouragement to a large degree. So be as silent and as secret as long as you can, so that when your plan comes to fruition, the laugh is on them and not on you. So I would say, you know, be very diligent at what you're doing, and to use a terminology that we're used to in our community, stay on your grind. Come hell or high water, even when it's not yielding the results you want right away, stay on your grind. Because here's the thing. Consistency has to be worth something. What I'm seeing with entrepreneurs now is that if it doesn't yield certain results in a year, 2 years, they're out. Where it says that you were never committed to the conviction you say you had. So in some respects, I'm kind of glad that you're out. Because if you're not committed to you, nobody else will. So stay on your grind. Be committed to the vision. And then the last and most successful thing that I've seen is, like you said earlier, get around like-minded people. When you share your vision, which is a life-size picture of the vision, when you share your vision with wallet-sized people, you're missing the mark. The reason why they're laughing at you is because they can only see the wallet size of what you see life size. So in that regard, you need to get around like-minded people, people that see life size vision, because they're going to encourage you. They're going to be honest with you. And to a certain extent, they're going to aid you because they've been where you are and they understand it. The problem with being an entrepreneur, very honestly, is that we all feel like nobody understands what I'm going through. Yeah, there are people that understand what you're going through, most in generally, we just kind of congregate around the folk that don't. And that's a danger. That's a danger. I don't get a chance to hang out with a lot of people. Do I get upset about that? No, I don't. Being an entrepreneur is a very lonely place because sometimes you see what other people don't see in order to live what possibly other people don't live. And so it's a very lonely place. But because it is a place where you are by yourself a lot, you got to incorporate reading. I read everything. I read books and the Bible. I read about men and movements. I read magazines. I read articles because the person that does not read does not enlarge their thinking, neither can they expand their vocabulary. So you got to read. Read voraciously. Read all the time. Mark Cuban has even said the greatest entrepreneurs in the world read. They read. There are many people that say, well, I want to learn about my craft or my industry, but I don't have the time to go to school. Well, you probably don't. Or I don't have the time to or the money to go to school. There is an educational website that is for free where you could sit in classes that are Ivy League schools, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, MIT, where you can audit the classes, meaning you can sit in online for free and get an education in that subject matter. And it costs you nothing but a little time.
Wow.
So you got to read and you got to avail yourself.
Absolutely. Now, Roderick, Mr. Waddle, are you ready to share your entrepreneurial advice for our listeners?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, absolutely. I want to really piggyback on what Mr. Moten said. The second thing you said was stay on your grind. I mean, I believe that is a major key. You can't let anything distract you. And even before staying on your grind, it's being clear about where you're headed, being clear about your vision.
For sure.
You know, to use a Bible reference, the Lord told Abraham, he said, look out from where you are. You know, as far as you can see, I'll give it to you. And I believe the same is true with any vision that you have. As far out as you can see, he'll give it to you. You can get it, but you got to be diligent. You got to stay on your grind. I believe that's the most important thing with entrepreneurship.
For sure.
Well, you know what? Those are some pearls of wisdom. I'm waiting for the YouTube channel to come out with the both of you all as we'd like to listen to inspirational word. I'm telling you, that's a moneymaker right there. Those pearls that you just dropped, both of you, you could totally make a YouTube channel and people would tune in.
For sure.
Every single week. Well, I'm so, it's funny because I was like very nervous about you guys coming on. I'm like, oh, we're finally going to do this. But I mean, I feel right at home with you. I'm sure our listeners have received, those who are listening by podcast, because it's going to go around a zillion times. They will receive, I'm sure Robert has received. I can't speak for him, but, he's there. Robert, have you received?
Oh yeah. I love this knowledge. From all walks of entrepreneurship, is always something to learn. And when you, again, listening to entrepreneurships, well, entrepreneurs, you always find that common line that connects us. And I hear it in you guys, and it's just like listening to Earl Nightingale and sometimes listening to myself. You know,
right.
You said it. You got to stay on your grind. You know,
sure.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing to hear from you guys. And I always say, when I hear what I say from guys that I don't know you all, but you're doing something pretty big, then that just confirms that I'm on the right path.
For sure. For sure.
Right.
I agree.
I love it that us like-minded people can get together on a show like this. I'm so thankful for Black Talk Radio Network for providing this platform so that we can come together and do what we need to do to inspire one another. And I want to invite you all back at any time to share information with us. You all can definitely look on our Facebook page, BIB Radio, and get more information about Mr. Moten and his company, because I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised with their website. Mr. Moten, now, do you have a, a program where it's benefits or bonuses for referrals? Did we talk about that at all?
We did. In fact, from those that listen to this broadcast, whenever they listen to it, if they can and will, when they refer or when they are referred and they call, they can use a certain code, because all of our offerings are by invitation only. And again, that's to keep with the luxury brands, by invitation only. So when they call, they can, the code is attached actually, Cici, I think to your name, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Waddle, what is that code? If they call your extension,
I'm looking for it right. Okay, it's a DC 2017-03SH. I say it again.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
DC
for sure.
2017-03SH.
For sure, for sure. And the more we, if we can do those that call, here's the beauty of it with our referral program. If enough people say, "Hey, okay, this is a service we want," then we always send a financial stipend as a thank you. But more to that, with our business partners, we not only send a financial stipend, but we send you our flight card, and we dump hours on that card for you so that you can start flying private too. Just because you refer someone, it's our way of saying thank you. My dad used to always say, if somebody spends time helping you, don't waste their time. So it's our way of not wasting your time, but to say thank you.
Okay. Well, amen. We definitely love your company tonight. It was great. But we've got to go ahead and end our show. We'll be in contact with you gentlemen later on. You've all been listening to BIB Radio. Join us here again next week, same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Have a wonderful, blessed night, everyone.
Good night.